Today's reading is from Luke, and it's on page 910 in your pew Bibles. And it's chapter 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, who he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor.
Good afternoon. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for another Sabbath. I ask now that your words leave my mouth and only words from you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning we're going to look at a Bible character that all of us know the story of, or at least a portion of the story of. We're going to look at Judas. When they say Judas, what comes to mind? Traitor. Do you know anybody named Judas? No. And why is that? Because the name Judas is synonymous with betrayal, traitor. In fact, it's so much so that we use it as a term. He's a Judas for somebody that is a traitor. We're going to look at him in a profile of Judas' life and see what it is that we can learn and gain from it. Thank you, Virginia, for reading our scripture. Let's look at that scripture again. And we're going to be throughout the Gospels a little bit today and in the book of Acts. But we're going to start here in the book of Luke. Chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. And the word reads, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, who he also named apostles: Simon, who he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor." Now it's interesting here. He's calling them, he's naming them apostles. The book Acts of the Apostles, Desire of Ages, tells us Jesus knew Judas' character from the moment he first saw him. It also tells us that Jesus picked Peter, and he picked Andrew and James and Nathanael, and he called each of them. Not so with Judas. Judas kind of called himself. We'll get into that a little further in a little bit. Judas, he was a member of a good group of people, right? We just listed those people, the apostles. Judas is one of the apostles. Sent out, did work, even did miracles. One of the original 12 apostles. Everywhere he went, he was known as one of the 12, one of Jesus' disciples. And of course, being one of his apostles, he was close to Jesus. In fact, almost always with Jesus, right? He spent 3 years with our Lord. He saw the power of Jesus in other people's lives. And he heard words that no man had ever spoken before. He knew Jesus, but he didn't believe Jesus. Let's look at the book of John, chapter 6, beginning in verse 63. John 6, through 71. And it reads, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would betray him." See, Jesus knew right there. He knew from the beginning. "And he said, 'Therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted of him by my Father.' From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with Jesus no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, 'Do you also want to go away?' But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, you have come to believe. We have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered them, 'Did I not choose you, the 12? And one of you is a devil.' He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Judas didn't accept who Jesus was. In fact, he would one day turn Jesus over to the authorities. Jesus knew who Judas was when he chose Judas. He knew what Judas would do. And Jesus knew Judas was not a true believer. He knew who Judas was really serving. Judas was not concerned about Jesus' ministry at all. A little further in the book of John, chapter 12. John 12, 1 through 6. "Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him." "Mary took oil and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, 'Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?' This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it." Judas, he put up a front. He looked like he was compassionate for the poor, but he didn't care about ministering to poor people at all. In Judas's mind, every time they gave money to the poor, they were just pouring it on the ground. We have to ask, do any of us feel like that when we give money to the poor? Is it just wasting money? I hope the answer for all of us is no, but we have to check ourselves. Judas was only concerned about himself. Judas saw the money poured out as money that could have gone to the ministry. And if it was in the ministry, he could get his hands on it because he's the thief. All Judas cared about was Judas. Later, all Judas saw was 30 pieces of silver. He was self-absorbed and would do anything to get what he wanted, including steal from Jesus. But Judas sat at Jesus' table. Flip the page, at least in my Bible, John 13. Beginning with verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. Now who's there? Judas. But he was controlled by Satan, wasn't he? Judas was there at the Last Supper. And he kept up his act, his facade, right until the end. Even after Christ washed his feet. Unfortunately, the touch of Jesus didn't change his heart. He wasn't following the Lord anymore. He'd given his heart to the devil and to self-service. But Judas, even after he betrayed him, felt guilty. Let's look at the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Excuse me, Matthew 27, verses 3 through 6. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." Then he threw down the silver, the pieces of silver, in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because they are the price of blood." Judas, as far gone as he was, following the devil, still had a conscience about what he'd done. Suddenly, the money didn't mean anything to him anymore. But he'd wasted his life serving himself. He had been with the only one who could save him, from himself. But he refused to recognize Jesus and died without him. Judas' sins condemned him. Let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 1. Verses 24 and 25. Acts 1, 24 and 25. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these you have chosen to take part in the ministry and apostleship, from which Judas, by his transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place." Judas's transgressions caused him to forfeit the place he could have had. His sins sealed his fate. And sin without repentance and acceptance of Jesus means Judas was lost. And without Jesus, Judas has no hope of eternal life. Now, what can we learn from the life of Judas? First, we learn that the condition of the heart is known by Jesus. Judas looked like he was in good standing with the Lord, didn't he? He was one of the 12. People could see him and associate him with Jesus and the other disciples. He was the treasurer, paid money out to the poor and for the support of the ministry. But in his heart, he was a thief and despised the use of the money for the ministry. And Jesus knew his heart. And guess what? The Lord knows your heart as well. You may look good on the outside. You may be with all the right people. You may put up a good front and do the right things on occasion. But Jesus knows who you really are. He knows the condition of your heart. We may be guilty or remorseful, but that doesn't mean that we repent. Judas felt guilty about what he'd done, sure. The Bible says that he was remorseful. He felt so bad that he gave back the money, the 30 pieces of silver. But guilty Judas went to the wrong people for forgiveness. Repentance means turning around. Judas could have turned around, gone to the foot of the cross, gone to Jesus, and asked for forgiveness. But Judas felt guilty, even though he felt guilty. He still wouldn't turn around and ask forgiveness from the only one who could forgive him. There was no true repentance. Just guilt. And you know, guilt, if we feel guilty about something, we need to take that as a prompting from the Lord. Now, don't let the guilt weigh us down, because that's not healthy. But if we're prompted with guilt, we need to take a step to ask for repentance. You may feel guilty about your actions and your way of living. You can go to a psychiatrist and feel better and ease your guilty conscience. You may be able to go back to a specific place or time in your childhood and blame that for why you feel the way you do. You may be able to place the blame for all your sins on someone else. But you won't be forgiven until you go to the only one who can forgive you. Jesus. But guilty feelings don't equal repentance. True repentance means turning away from your way of life and turning to Jesus. Association doesn't mean salvation either. Judas was with the right people, and Jesus actually ordained him. He chose him to go out. But again, Jesus didn't say, "Follow me," necessarily to him. Sister White tells us that Judas selected himself, came up and wanted to be part of the apostles. And so Jesus went, he accepted him and he ordained him. And the other apostles, well, he's leadership material. Absolutely we need him. But Jesus, again, Jesus knew his heart. He was one of the 11, and he would be part of the shaking of the world for Jesus Christ. There are people here who are surrounded by others who Jesus has saved. There are people here who are surrounded by people on fire for Jesus. But being in church doesn't mean that you're walking with Jesus, does it? Being a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Judas knew about Jesus. He knew about him well. He'd spent 3 years of his life with Jesus. But knowledge doesn't equal salvation. Knowing facts, knowing about Jesus, does not mean that you know Jesus. And the fate of all lost people is still the same. Judas was a member of the apostles. He was one of the elite. He was a member of the greatest organization there ever was. He was constantly in the presence of holiness and righteousness and goodness with Jesus. But Judas died a lost man. And because he died lost, he won't see eternal life. And your position in life doesn't alter your position in eternity. You may be a member of the church. You may even be a leader in this church. You may hang out with good Christian people. You may be associated with the ministry of the church. But guess what? Without believing in Jesus and accepting his gift on the cross, you too could suffer the same fate as Judas and be lost. This afternoon, as we wrap things up, in your mind, do you see where you may need to give some things over to Jesus? Say, "God, I've got some problems here or there. Can you help me fix this and that?" Do you see yourself, maybe like Judas, not fully committed? If you do, please don't do what Judas did. Judas gave up. He turned away from Jesus. What you can do is turn toward Jesus. No matter how bad it might be, no matter how good it might be, we've all sinned, haven't we? And Jesus is the only one that can forgive us. We must come to the foot of the cross. Confess our sins. Lay ourselves bare to Jesus. And if we're truly repentant, He will forgive us. And we can know and be assured that if we know Jesus, He will give us eternal life. Today, each of us has an opportunity to evaluate our lives. And if need be, again or for the first time, ask forgiveness for our sins and fall at the foot of the cross. Jesus paid for everything, paid for our sins. And all He's asking of you is that you accept His gift. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And if we do not accept His gift, we will suffer the same fate as Judas. Unfortunately, no eternal life. Our closing hymn. Jesus paid it all. Number 184.
Thank you.
Jesus has paid for each of us. He's washed that crimson stain. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the gift of the death on the cross and the resurrection that paid for all of our sins so that one day soon, when you come again, we can go and meet you face to face in heaven. Father God, I thank you for your love and ask that you remind each of us where it is that we need to turn our lives even further over to you. Hold us ever close to you as we strive to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Today's reading is from Luke, and it's on page 910 in your pew Bibles. And it's chapter 6, verse 12. Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself. And from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles. Simon, who he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor.
Good afternoon. Yes, it's on. There it is. Okay. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Father God, I thank you for your love. I thank you for another Sabbath. I ask now that your words leave my mouth and only words from you. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning we're going to look at a Bible character that all of us know the story of, or at least a portion of the story of. We're going to look at Judas. When we say Judas, what comes to mind? Traitor. Do you know anybody named Judas? No. And why is that? Because the name Judas is synonymous with betrayal, traitor. In fact, it's so much so that we use it as a term. He's a Judas for somebody that is a traitor. We're going to look at him in a profile of Judas' life and see what it is that we can learn and gain from it. Thank you, Virginia, for reading our scripture. Let's look at that scripture again. And we're going to be throughout the Gospels a little bit today. and in the book of Acts. But we're going to start here in the book of Luke. Chapter 6, verses 12 through 16. And the word reads, "Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, who he also named apostles: Simon, who he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who also became a traitor." Now it's interesting here, he's calling them, he's naming them apostles. The book Acts of the Apostles, Desire of Ages, tells us Jesus knew Judas' character from the moment he first saw him. It also tells us that Jesus picked Peter, and he picked Andrew and James and Nathanael, and he called each of them. Not so with Judas. Judas kind of called himself. We'll get into that a little further in a little bit. Judas, he was a member of a good group of people, right? We just listed those people, the apostles. Judas is one of the apostles. Sent out, did work, even did miracles. One of the original 12 apostles. Everywhere he went, he was known as one of the 12. One of Jesus' disciples. And of course, being one of his apostles, he was close to Jesus. In fact, almost always with Jesus, right? He spent 3 years with our Lord. He saw the power of Jesus in other people's lives. And he heard words that no man had ever spoken before. He knew Jesus, but he didn't believe Jesus. Let's look at the book of John, chapter 6, beginning in verse 63. John 6, through 71. And it reads, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit, and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who would betray him." See, Jesus knew right there. He knew from the beginning. "And he said, therefore I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted of him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with Jesus no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, you have come to believe. We have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12? And one of you is a devil." He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. Judas didn't accept who Jesus was. In fact, he would one day turn Jesus over to the authorities. Jesus knew who Judas was when he chose Judas. He knew what Judas would do. And Jesus knew Judas was not a true believer. He knew who Judas was really serving. Judas was not concerned about Jesus' ministry at all. A little further in the book of John, chapter 12. John 12, 1 through 6. Then 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard. But Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Mary took oil and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the money box, and he used to take what was put in it. Judas, he put up a front. He looked like he was compassionate for the poor, but he didn't care about ministering to poor people at all. In Judas's mind, every time they gave money to the poor, they were just pouring it on the ground. We have to ask, do any of us feel like that when we give money to the poor? Is it just wasting money? I hope the answer for all of us is no, but we have to check ourselves. Judas was only concerned about himself. Judas saw the money poured out as money that could have gone to the ministry. And if it was in the ministry, he could get his hands on it because he's a thief. All Judas cared about was Judas. Later, all Judas saw was 30 pieces of silver. He was self-absorbed and would do anything to get what he wanted, including steal from Jesus. But Judas sat at Jesus' table. Flip the page, at least in my Bible, John 13. Beginning with verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper, laid aside his garment, and took a towel and girded himself. Now who's there? Judas. But he was controlled by Satan, wasn't he? Judas was there at the Last Supper. And he kept up his act, his facade, right until the end. even after Christ washed his feet. Unfortunately, the touch of Jesus didn't change his heart. He wasn't following the Lord anymore. He'd given his heart to the devil and to self-service. But Judas, even after he betrayed him, felt guilty. Let's look at the book of Matthew, chapter 28. Excuse me, Matthew 27, verses 3 through 6. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." And they said, "What is that to us? You see to it." Then he threw down the silver, the pieces of silver in the temple, and departed, and went and hanged himself. But the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the treasury, because they are the price of blood." Judas, as far gone as he was, following the devil, still had a conscience about what he'd done. Suddenly, the money didn't mean anything to him anymore. But he'd wasted his life serving himself. He had been with the only one who could save him from himself. But he refused to recognize Jesus and died without him. Judas' sins condemned him. Let's look at the book of Acts, chapter 1. Verses 24 and 25. Acts 1, 24 and 25. And they prayed and said, "You, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these you have chosen to take part in the ministry and apostleship, from which Judas, by his transgression, fell, that he might go to his own place." Judas's transgressions caused him to forfeit the place he could have had. His sins sealed his fate. And sin without repentance and acceptance of Jesus means Judas was lost. And without Jesus, Judas has no hope of eternal life. Now, what can we learn from the life of Judas? First, we learn that the condition of the heart is known by Jesus. Judas looked like he was in good standing with the Lord, didn't he? He was one of the 12. People could see him and associate him with Jesus and the other disciples. He was the treasurer, paid money out to the poor, and for the support of the ministry. But in his heart, he was a thief and despised the use of the money for the ministry. And Jesus knew his heart. And guess what? The Lord knows your heart as well. You may look good on the outside. You may be with all the right people. You may put up a good front and do the right things on occasion, but Jesus knows who you really are. He knows the condition of your heart. We may be guilty or remorseful, but that doesn't mean that we repent. Judas felt guilty about what he'd done, sure. The Bible says that he was remorseful. He felt so bad that he gave back the money, the 30 pieces of silver. But guilty Judas went to the wrong people for forgiveness. Repentance means turning around. Judas could have turned around, gone to the foot of the cross, gone to Jesus, and asked for forgiveness. But Judas felt guilty, even though he felt guilty. He still wouldn't turn around and ask forgiveness from the only one who could forgive him. There was no true repentance. Just guilt. And you know, guilt, if we feel guilty about something, we need to take that as a prompting from the Lord. Now, don't let the guilt weigh us down, because that's not healthy. But if we're prompted with guilt, we need to take a step to ask for repentance. You may feel guilty about your actions and your way of living. You can go to a psychiatrist and feel better and ease your guilty conscience. You may be able to go back to a specific place or time in your childhood and blame that for why you feel the way you do, or you may be able to place the blame for all your sins on someone else. But you won't be forgiven until you go to the only one who can forgive you. Jesus. But guilty feelings don't equal repentance. True repentance means turning away from your way of life and turning to Jesus. Association doesn't mean salvation either. Judas was with the right people, and Jesus actually ordained him. He chose him to go out. But again, Jesus didn't say, "Follow me," necessarily to him. Sister White tells us that Judas selected himself, came up and wanted to be part of the apostles. And so Jesus went, he accepted him and he ordained him. And the other apostles, well, he's leadership material. Absolutely we need him. But Jesus, again, Jesus knew his heart. He was one of the 11, and he would be part of the shaking of the world for Jesus Christ. There are people here who are surrounded by others who Jesus has saved. There are people here who are surrounded by people on fire for Jesus. But being in church doesn't mean that you're walking with Jesus, does it? Being a member of the Seventh-day Adventist Church doesn't mean you're a Christian. Judas knew about Jesus. He knew about him well. He'd spent 3 years of his life with Jesus. But knowledge doesn't equal salvation. Knowing facts, knowing about Jesus, does not mean that you know Jesus. And the fate of all lost people still the same. Judas was a member of the apostles. He was one of the elite. He was a member of the greatest organization there ever was. He was constantly in the presence of holiness and righteousness and goodness with Jesus. But Judas died a lost man. And because he died lost, he won't see eternal life. And your position in life doesn't alter your position in eternity. You may be a member of the church. You may even be a leader in this church. You may hang out with good Christian people. You may be associated with the ministry of the church. But guess what? Without believing in Jesus and accepting His gift on the cross, you too could suffer the same fate as Judas and be lost. This afternoon, as we wrap things up, in your mind, do you see where you may need to give some things over to Jesus? Say, God, I've got some problems here or there. Can you help me fix this and that? Do you see yourself, maybe like Judas, not fully committed? If you do, please don't do what Judas did. Judas gave up. He turned away from Jesus. What you can do is turn toward Jesus. No matter how bad it might be, no matter how good it might be, we've all sinned, haven't we? And Jesus is the only one that can forgive us. We must come to the foot of the cross, confess our sins, lay ourselves bare to Jesus. And if we're truly repentant, He will forgive us. And we can know and be assured that if we know Jesus, He will give us eternal life. Today, each of us has an opportunity to evaluate our lives. And if need be, again or for the first time, ask forgiveness for our sins and fall at the foot of the cross. Jesus paid for everything, paid for our sins. And all He's asking of you is that you accept His gift. Jesus is the only way to heaven. And if we do not accept His gift, we will suffer the same fate as Judas. Unfortunately, no eternal life. Our closing hymn. Jesus paid it all. Number 184. Jesus has paid for each of us. He's washed that crimson stain. Father God, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you for the gift of the death on the cross and the resurrection that paid for all of our sins so that one day soon, when you come again, we can go and meet you face to face in heaven. Father God, I thank you for your love and ask that you remind each of us where it is that we need to turn our lives even further over to you. Hold us ever close to you as we strive to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.